Hi, this is Adrienne King, first final girl from Friday the 13th, Alice, and you are listening to Wrestle Horror. Rawr.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, I understand you took a little trip recently, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was pretty much one of the greatest weekends of my life. It was a dream come true bucket list trip for me, and it was very awesome, and I will definitely be more than happy to tell everybody about it.
So it, I mean, if it's pretty awesome, it has to either deal with wrestling or horror. I'm betting it's probably horror. So let's talk about what you did, where you went, and what got you so excited.
Yeah, well, so everybody knows me, knows I'm a big Jason Voorhees fan, have been since I was a kid. Friday the 13th is my thing. That's my jam. And I've always been fascinated with Camp Crystal Lake, and I've always dreamed about going to the actual Camp Crystal Lake. But actually, for the longest time, I never even realized there was a real Camp Crystal Lake, to be honest. And then when I found out, you know, I never put two and two together, like, well, there has to be, because they filmed it there. And, you know, I never really thought of that. And then once I found out that it was an actual camp and an actual lake, then that made me want to go. So this past weekend, Terry and I, we booked our Camp Crystal Lake tour. And it was a special tour for, and we had Ari Lehman, who was a previous guest on here. And then we had Adrienne King. And if you don't know, Ari was the first Jason. He was the boy in first Jason. And Adrienne King was the girl that he pulled into the canoe at the end. And I got her name, her signature right there. Jason and Alice right there on the license plate. Got Mrs. Voorhees' license plate now. So pick me up some trinkets on the way. But yeah, so we got to meet them. And so it was obviously the time to go. And it was the first time that they had both been together at Camp Crystal Lake in over 40 years since they filmed since they made the film. They filmed it in 78, 79. It was aired in 80. And then that's the first time they'd been together since the filming of Friday the 13th Part 1. And so it was a pretty exciting, you know, moment for us.
So did they recreate the infamous canoe scene?
Well, they did, sort of. It wasn't in the water. And like I said, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw me bombarding it with pictures and comments and videos. But yeah, they did recreate the scene, and but it was on the beach. It wasn't in the actual water, because technically, from all the stories they told us, the lake has risen the water level. So the actual canoe where they did the filming, one of the things was Ari didn't really pull, you know, Jason, first Jason didn't really pull Alice under the water and tip the canoe over. It was actually Tasso and Tom Savini standing on each end of the canoe, and they had a picture of them where they were literally like waist deep. And then when Ari come out and grabbed Adrienne, then Tasso and Tom Savini flipped the canoe over. That's how they got the canoe to flip. But that canoe now is like an extra 20 to 30 yards out into the water, and it's up over your head now. So, you know, it's from where the water's risen. Yeah. And it's like some of the scenes, like some of the same famous scenes, like when Ned's walking along the rusty pipe in Part 1, that pipe was now underwater. Like that area of the camp is underwater. So they cut sections of that pipe out, and it was on display, and because it was all rusted away to nothing and all that. So yeah, so we didn't get to go in the water, but it was still awesome, you know. And then, and they offered, you know, photo ops and all that. So obviously I paid the money to have my picture taken, and I basically mimicked Ari, you know, because he recreated his scene where he come up with his arm to wrap around Alice and pull her under the water. So I came from the other side and so that was kind of like a dream come true, little chubby moment for me. <It's> like, you know, so yeah, so I'll say I don't mark out on a lot of things like a wrestling. I rarely mark out on a lot of stuff. Like, you know, it's just something I've never done. But for this, I was like on cloud nine. I marked out pretty bad. It's kind of embarrassing, but I didn't care.
You know, everybody marks out to something, and it's all right. But, you know, not only were you at the campground itself, but if I'm not mistaken, didn't you go around town to various film locations?
Yeah. Yeah. Our tour was scheduled for Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. So we left out, and we live in Columbus, obviously, and it's in Hardwick, New Jersey, is where Camp Crystal Lake is. It's Camp Novi Bosco. It's a Boy Scout camp. And so it's in Hardwick, New Jersey, which is like 7.5 hours, 8 hours away. So we basically got up Saturday morning and left out real early. And yeah, and for the first time, Terry can attest to this, first time in my vacationing career, I wasn't rushing. I didn't have everything planned out from start to finish. I didn't have a schedule. It was just like, we woke up, because usually I'm like on edge and cloud, you know, like edgy and grumpy, like, come on, we got to get going, we're running late, you know, da da da. But for this whole weekend, I just let it go. Like, whatever happened, happened. And it actually worked out better for us. So anyway, so we got up early, you know, Saturday morning, we left, we went to, what was the name of the town? It was in Pennsylvania. It was like right on the border, Stroudsburg. And that's where our hotel was. It was the only one closest to it that was still available. So we got to the hotel, and Terry immediately was like, oh crap. Cause usually, you know, the hotels are really nice, you know, nice open area. This was right off the freeway. But it was in a college town. So, you know, college towns are kind of, you know, run down a little bit, not the best shape. And then, so there was like when we pulled into the parking lot, it was directly off the freeway. So the road was like literally beside the freeway. And then, you know, like there was like weird people, and there was like a guy begging for money on the corner, and there was like weird people in the parking lot. So, and it was a quality inn. So I figured it would be a real nice hotel, but it like on the outside, it really wasn't presenting itself to be. So Terry immediately got scared, you know, like, oh crap, you're going to get us killed before even go to Camp Crystal Lake to get killed. So you know, so we started there and got checked in, and it ended up being okay. Like, I mean, it wasn't the best hotel, but I mean, it served its purpose, you know, gave us place to lay our head for the night. So once we got all checked in and did all that, I was like I can't wait till tomorrow. I said, we need to go find out where it's at. I was like, I want to at least see, you know, because I know they won't open the gates until it's your time. So I figured, you know, I was like, I just want to go. And there's a sign out front by the gates. I want to take a picture of that, and that way I know where it's at. You know, I at least want to plan that part out. So we go. And then, you know, one of the greatest inventions of all time, Google Maps on your phone. So, you know, Google Maps took us right to it. And of course, they were getting ready to do a tour. I would say probably within the half hour, hour, I didn't know, but there was like 8 to 10 cars already parked there waiting. So, and it was in like the movies, how it was like covered with woods and like a small road. So there wasn't much room to get by. So we're like slowly creeping past all these cars. And, you know, then I see the sign. Of course, I have my little mark out moment, like, oh, Camp Blood. Yeah. Woo. You know, I was like freaking out. So but we did that. So then once we left there, you know, we wasn't going to get out because, you know, it was their tour time. We didn't want to interrupt anybody. So we went into town, and we just decided, you know, hey, let's go to see if we can go into town, because we'd watched a video on YouTube where this guy had recorded, like videoed his tour. And then all the stuff he did. And then he also recorded the sites around the town where, like at the beginning where they were in the town and then doing all that. So I thought that would be neat too. And so I wanted to go do that. So we went into town, and I like Googled, you know, like the diner, where was the diner in Friday the 13th part one. And it told me where it was. And so it was in Blairstown. So we kind of just like went on an adventure and just started searching for stuff. So, you know, we, like I said, I just put in Google Maps. I just put in Blairstown Diner. And then I know, like, also the place, like, with the by the National Bank where the tunnel is, you know, where she was walking through there, and then where she was coming down the hill, you know, around the corner. I know all that was in that potential area. And then the opening scene with the house, you know, like I said, you know, so where it says present day, you know, has the June 1980 or whatever present day, and it has that house in the background. So I knew all that was in Blairstown. So we just took off there. And another thing that I didn't mention before is me and Terry was like completely surprised, because you think New Jersey and you think, you know, New Jersey, you think Jersey Shore, you think, you know, dirty water, you think dirty towns, you know, like town like Columbus, you know, big cities with like trash on the sidewalks and all that, you know. So that's kind of what we had in our minds of what New Jersey was. And, you know, we're big fans of, you know, Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge and Smoky Mountains. You know, we're outdoorsy, woodsy type of people. And when we got into New Jersey, the western part of New Jersey, it was probably some of the most beautiful scenery and land I've ever saw. And it had the big mountains. It, of course, you know, which I didn't know this, but the mountains behind Camp Crystal Lake that you see sometimes in the background, those are actually the Appalachian Mountains. And I didn't know that. So you could walk those trails from, you know, he said you can go from Maine to Georgia, whatever. And so that, you know, so it was in the Appalachia area. So, like I said, I mean, mountains everywhere, had the blue smoke, just like in the Smokies. I mean, just beautiful sceneries, tons of, you know, lakes and streams and creeks. And so we were like, once we realized what we were in, yeah, we were in heaven. We were just driving down these old random roads, just looking for stuff. And yeah, they had like tons of old Victorian houses with like 2 and 3 story wraparound porches, and which that's Terry's kind of, you know, she loves those big, you know, big giant houses like that. So, I mean, it was really beautiful scenery. So anyway, so yeah, we get into Blairstown, and we're looking around for stuff, and you know, even though it's not a huge town, you're still like, yeah, where am I, you know, there's no way I'm going to find like this exact street that all this stuff was on, where Annie walked down and did all that. And so we find the diner, you know, we just put in Blairstown Diner, and, you know, got the location, and we found the diner. So that was, you know, kind of a mark out moment for us. And so we did that, and that's where Steve Christie, where he was eating his meal, or where he's getting some food and stuff when it was pouring down rain. So in the film. So of course, you know, we took our picture in front of it, and we went inside, and then we got kind of put on the spot and felt like dumbasses, because we walk in and we're looking around, and they got like, you know, some Friday 13th memorabilia and that kind of stuff. And they're like cash registers like right by the door. So, you know, it wasn't one of those things where we could just go in and look around and say, oh, this is cool, because we had just got done eating. So we weren't hungry. So we go in. And the guy's like, oh, you dining in or carrying out or what? So, you know, like, we were like, you know, we're just like standing there. But I seen that they had a bunch of T-shirts and hoodies and sweatshirts and all that. So then Terry was like, yeah, well, we just want to get a shirt, you know, a souvenir shirt, and kind of played it off. And which it was a cool shirt. It had, you know, their diner on logo on the front, and on the back it had Jason's mask. And, you know, they played up the whole Friday the 13th thing there, the whole theme, you know, so it was pretty cool. So yeah, we at least gave them money for the shirt instead of just going in and, you know, saying, hey, we want to take pictures. So, but yeah, we left there, and then we went and moved on, and we were leaving there, and then, you know, the guy was talking to us about it, and so I just asked him, I said, you know, hey, do you have any other locations? I was like, we're looking for the tunnel by the old National Bank, where that part of the scene, and he pointed us right to it. He said, yeah, he said, it's like, you're like a street away, and he's like, you go down this side street, make a right, blah, 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 you're right there, and which if he wouldn't have told us, we would have never found it, because like I said, it was literally like on a side street in the middle of town. So, you know, thankfully we asked him and he showed us, or told us how to get there. So, and you know, like another goosebump moment, you know, we get down and we turn the wrong way first. We end up on a one-way street. So we like turn around and get off of there real quick. Yeah. So then we come around the corner, and then I see the tunnel, yeah, that she comes walking through, the like where the bridge is. And like, I just started getting goosebumps. I was like, there it is, you know, like freaking out. Cause yeah, like I said, this is my, you know, everybody's like Disney. I grew up on Disney. Disney's my, you know, my thing. You know, I love the princesses. I love, you know, whatever. But for me, it was Jason, Friday the 13th, you know, that. So that's what gets, you know, gets my blood going. So, yeah. So I marked out and we were like, we got a park. We got a park. So we found a parking spot. And then, yeah, like I said, if you've seen on the Facebook, we took, you know, a bunch of pictures where we're in the tunnel, and then we took pictures where we're, where I was standing by the backdrop where the hill comes down, where she was walking down the hill. And then, you know, took a bunch of those pictures. And so, and then kind of, there was we took a picture, like the, like I said, the opening scene where, you know, after the initial kill up in the rafters or whatever, where it says, you know, present day, you know, we took that, we took a shot of that with us, you know, in the back, or the house in the background, the same shot, tried to make it as close to the same actual shot distance as the film, but we could. But they also, they right in that area, they had like a waterfall type thing with a nice stream. And like I said, it was, I mean, this area was just old town school. I mean, yeah, the buildings and stuff were updated, but they were still, you know, down home with countries you could get. And you know, we were loving it. So, yeah, so we took pictures of the stream, and they had like a little conservatory area where that waterfall was. So we just moseyed up there and took pictures and walked around. So that was in Blairstown. So then I told her, you know, I was like, well, we got to find the cemetery. I was like, I want to find that rusty cemetery gate and take a picture if it's still up. And then when I remembered, we had watched the YouTube video, the guy had went like November of 2020. So it was just, you know, recently, and it was still up. Right. So, we wanted to, you know, go. No, actually it was February of 2020. It was February. So, you know, it was still up. So we went and found it. So I basically, you know, I couldn't remember the name that was on the cemetery gate. So I basically Googled, you know, Friday 13th Part 1 Cemetery, and I, you know, found the name, and then I Googled it, and Google Maps pulled it right up for us. So I was like, hell yeah, greatest invention known to man, you know. So we went and found found a cemetery, and it was in Hope, New Jersey. It was like maybe 20 minutes away. And so we got there and found it, and we pulled into the cemetery and parked. And then we both felt kind of odd because it was like in the middle of nowhere. You know, there was some houses and stuff in the area now, you know, in the film, and there wasn't, it was just all land, but now there's houses and across from it. Like if you're looking at the entrance to the gate, looking at the gate behind you was like apartments, you know, like maybe like a four hotel, like a four apartment building, you know, like a duplex or quad, whatever. And they had like all of them had their windows open. So I'm like, man, yeah, I started feeling, you know, like weird and stuff. Like, you know, I know people might be looking out their windows, and you know, we're walking through this cemetery, and you know, all we're trying to do is get Friday the 13th pictures. And I know people do it all the time, but you know, then I was like, you know, is this kind of disrespectful, like walking through the cemetery and, you know, to get a picture for Friday the 13th. So I was telling Terry, like, yeah, I feel kind of awkward. I think this is kind of rude a little bit. And so she's like talking to all the headstones as we're going by. She's like, hey, you know, how you guys doing? Sorry, we're passing through. And she was like literally talking to these headstones. And like if she saw the name, she'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a nice name, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, well, if we make small talk, then we're not being disrespectful. We're at least saying hi to them. So, I mean, that's Terry's way of thinking, you know. So yes, anyway, we get to the steel thing. The gate, we take our picture, and it got a few shots. So we walk back to the van, and we decided that, you know, that was enough, because it was already getting late, because we'd got up at 6, you know, we'd driven 8 hours. And then we got it, you know, just basically unloaded our bags, grabbed a quick bite, and then we went, drove another half hour to find, you know, where the camp was. Then we drove, you know, another 10 minutes to find, you know, Blairstown, New Jersey, and then another 20 minutes to find Hope, New Jersey. So I mean, we'd been in the car a long time. So this was already like, we're talking 6, 7, 8 o'clock, and we're starting to get tired. And then I was like, you know, usually I'm an all night, stay up all night guy. I don't get much sleep. And, you know, at this time, you know, I was like, all right, we got to be there by 10. So we got to leave here by 9 because I want to get there early. You know, we got to get up, take our showers. I was like, so we need to get back so we can go to bed. You know, like a kid on Christmas, like Christmas Eve night, you know, trying to go to bed before Santa gets there. So we did that. And then just got back, called a pizza place that we found in the book. And the guy put her on hold, but instead of pushing the hold button, he just set the phone down. So she's waiting. And I went and I took my shower and I got changed into my night clothes, whatever. And she's still on hold. So she calls on my cell phone, like takes a different phone. And as she's calling the phone, she can hear the phone ringing. And then she hears the guy. He just like starts going off. And he's just like, hold on a effing second. We're not effing ready. And he's just like yelling at this phone call that's ringing. And Terry was just like, what? So she was just like, yeah, no, we're not giving him our business. So she just hung up both phones. So we called a couple other places and they didn't deliver. So finally we ended up with Pizza Hut. And yeah, I'd had better. So, I mean, it was cold by the time they got it to us. So, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, so that was night number one, day number one. excuse me. That take me a drink there. I don't think I've ever talked so much on a podcast.
No, I don't. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, day number two.
Yeah, so day number two, you know, we wake up early, you know, on time, get ready. And, you know, of course, I'm like, you know, we were supposed to, you know, so to back up before, the reason we ate out, there was a restaurant within this hotel. And so we said, when we get back, we'll eat dinner, you know, because the dinner didn't shut down till 10. We got back at like 8:30. So we get back to the room, like, all right, let's go get us some dinner at the restaurant in the hotel. So we go down there and everything's locked up. So we're like, you know, hey, you know, we're coming to get some dinner. And the guy was like, oh yeah, our chef is sick, called in sick, so we can't open. I was like, you only got one chef? And wow. He's like, yeah. So we were like, oh, okay. So we basically went the room, you know, back to the room, and that's how we ended up with the nasty Pizza Hut. So anyway, so we get up and they had a free breakfast. You know, my whole selling point on getting this room was because I knew they had the free breakfast buffet.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, this is going to be sweet, you know, because when we went to the Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention in Mansfield, you know, the hotel that everybody stayed at had the free breakfast and they had like bacon, eggs, biscuits, pancakes. I mean, it was like the whole setup and it was good. So I was like, yeah, like we're going to get up, we're going to slam some breakfast, get our fuel. So we go down there and like all these chairs and tables are like stacked up on each other. It's one guy standing there with like brown paper lunch sacks. And he's taking like milk cups and fruit cups and like apples. And he's just throwing it in his bag. So I was just like, are you effing kidding me? So we go in there, like no hot foods. It was all, it was all cold stuff. So I just turned around. I was like, no, I was like, we'll just go get something. So, yeah. So we didn't have much luck with the food portion there at the hotel.
Yeah, I've run across that a couple of times recently myself. So,
Yeah, I was disappointed too because I was hungry. I was wanting a big old plate of eggs and bacon, and then I got in there and I saw the people like walking out with these big bulky brown sacks. I was like, what are they doing? You know, I was like, oh, they must got to go orders. And then when I walked in, I seen it. I just started laughing. I was like, no, I just turned around, walked back out. So anyway, so we get breakfast, we get everything going. Yeah, we check out. And so we get, you know, to campground. So we're a couple minutes behind, you know, as usual, because we had to stop somewhere else and get, you know, get our breakfast food. So so we're running a little bit behind. So we get there, it's like 9. Yeah, I wanted to be there at 9, you know, 9:30. So I half an hour early. So we get there like 9:40 and I'm like, oh, you know, we're still 20 minutes early. We're perfectly fine, you know? So yeah, normally I'll be on edge and bitching and griping because we're running late behind my schedule that I, you know, my fantasy schedule that I created. So we get there thinking we're going to be like, man, we're 20 minutes early because it says right on your tickets, don't show up until the time of entry. So I'm like, yeah, we're 20 minutes early. We're going to be like first or second in line. And we get there and there's probably like 20 cars already lined up on that street. It's like, you know, like we're way down the street, down the hill. And so we just like parked and then, of course, Terry's side, you know, the side of the street we're on, the woods that was beside Terry was the actual Camp Nobe Bosco's woods. So I was teasing her, like, I was like, you know, cause there's no edges, like it's road and then dirt, you know, there's no ridges or off. So she's right by these woods. So I kept teasing her, you know, like, you know, Dave, you're right beside Jason's woods, you know, he's going to come out and get you. And she was like nervous that she was going to die this day, this weekend and everything. So I was teasing her about that. So anyway, you know, it opens up, and the good thing about it, because it was sunny and beautiful Saturday, you know, took, you know, with some good pictures and all this and that. Sunday, rain all day, the whole thing until the very end, like 20 minutes till the very end, and it quit raining, which it sucked because we had to wear the rain ponchos and it made it a little, you know, awkward for pictures and whatnot. But in the other sense, it was friggin' awesome because in the movie it rained most of the time. So it kind of played. And even the camp counselor guys, the tour guides, said that they were excited too. Like they love it every time it rains because it makes it more realistic to the movie when they do the tours and all that. And they said, you know, that from the weekend, because they had tours like Friday, Saturday, and then we were the last one on Sunday. And they said it had been nice and sunny all of those days except for our tour. And that it was perfect that, you know, for us, because we got to take like the pictures, you know, and all that, to where it was raining, just like it was on the night of, you know, the original Friday the 13th movie scene and all that. So it's raining, you know, we get in there, we get checked in, we get our gimmicks and our wristbands and all that. So we go to the main, you know, clubhouse party patio thing. And they got like a little screen up where they got Camp Crystal Lake tour, you know, on the screen, and they're actually going to play played the Friday the 13th movie while we were doing our tour. So if you had to wait, because they broke everybody up in groups, which that was good for the social distancing. They didn't enforce mask or anything, but they did keep like everybody in groups of 12 or less, to where everybody could spread out and everybody had their own ample time to do what they wanted to do. So, you know, so they had the movie planned. So if you wanted to get out of the rain, or if you were waiting for your turn in line for the meet and greet or whatever, you could go watch Friday the 13th while you're waiting. And, you know, they gave us like a big metal, you know, insulated water bottle, and they had like lemonade and water and coffee and all that we could fill it up. And so, you know, they gave us little lanyards, you know, a lot of little free trinkets made it kind of neat. And then we had to sign a waiver. And that's when Terry was like, oh yeah, I'm signing my life away. So now Jason's going to kill me. And, you know, so we basically started the tour, and then they said, you know, you can go to the gimmick shop, you know, and get your gimmicks. You can go to the meet and greet, you know, whatever group you want to go with, or you can just go, you know, get in a group with a tour guide and start your tour. So I wanted to go to the gimmick shop the gift shop. I call it wrestling gimmick shop. So I wanted to go to the gimmick shop so I could get those license plates that's right behind me. But I wanted them to sign the license plate. I thought that'd be cool. So we get to the gimmick shop and we're waiting in line. And I only had intentions of getting one or two things. So we ended up getting like $100 worth of stuff. So my first trip to the gimmick shop was $100. So, but I did get the license plate, and I got a lot of cool items. I'll pull this down. Nobody's going to see it unless they watch the video, but I got this. This was an empty bottle. Like, remember the Angry Mother bottles and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was there. And they had ones that they filled with Crystal Lake water on Friday the 13th days. And then they had empty ones to where you could fill it yourself. So I bought an empty one. And so this is actually Camp Crystal Lake water and sand, you know, it's kind of like a snow globe. So that's actually Camp Crystal Lake water. And yes, I know it's 40 years later, but I don't give a crap. I'm still marking out for it. So, and I filled it myself. So I actually filled up water and sand from Camp Crystal Lake. So yes.
Actually say it came from Camp Crystal Lake.
Yep. It actually did. And they actually said that when we do that, cause they were saying you can't take, like, you can't pick up rocks or sticks, or you can't take like stuff off of property. But they said in the case of the bottles that they encourage it. because it actually helps them, because every little bit of water and sand that somebody takes, it helps control the water levels. Because I guess there's with the lake, there's only one inlet and one outlet, and the outlet is, they're having beaver problems. So that's why the water's rising on the lake, is because of the beavers. So they said, you know, we're actually helping them out by doing that. And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, I'll take some Camp Blood water. Hell yeah. You know, they ain't got to tell me twice. So, yeah. So anyway, so we, you know, we got our gimmicks up. And then, of course, we had our gimmicks, you know, and we're like refrigerator magnet collectors. You know, every town we go to, or every event or every city or whatever, we get a refrigerator magnet. So we got our magnet, and of course you got to have a t-shirt, you know, you got to get this, got to get that. And then Terry wanted postcards because she wanted to get something for them to sign. And then I got the actual picture of where Jason was coming out of the water and grabbing Alice to pull her under, that scene, the final scene. So I got a picture of that for them to both sign. And so of course, you know, we have that, so we got to have something to carry it in. So, you know, we had to buy a backpack. So, like I said, long story short, you know, it ended up being like $100 in gimmicks. That's how they get you. I was like, man, I got to take notes on this for the wrestling events. So we get our gimmicks, and then we go. And by this time, everybody's already spread out and dispersed, and we don't see like any groups. So we're like, we don't even know what group we're going to be with, or if we even going to be in a group. So I was like, Terry's like, well, you just want to go get these signed? I'm like, yeah, might as well. So we go over and get in line, and we got in Adrian's line first because it was shorter. And so we got up to, you know, to her and got to talking with her. And she was just in a short film she was a part of a short film called Jason Rising. It's a fan film. Oh, and it's really good. It's only like an hour long. And I'd seen that she had mentioned it on Facebook about this fan film coming out, and that she really liked it. It was really good. So I watched it. And for, like I said, for a fan film of Friday the 13th, it actually was good. And it kind of tied everything together without giving it away. It kind of tied their story together from part one. And, I really encourage everybody to watch it. It's called Jason Rising. And it's a Friday the 13th fan film, and it's really good. But so I watched that. So, you know, I would have something to talk about and this and that. So we get up there and we start, you know, small talking and this and that. And she's signing our stuff. So she asked if I had seen Jason Rising, thinking, you know, I was going to say no. And I was like, yeah. I said, and she was like, yeah. She's like, did you like the ending? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I kind of suspected, you know, that I don't want to give it away to a lot of people, but I kind of suspected that was going to happen because of the hashtag you made. And she was like, oh, she's like, you caught that, did you? So she was like, so there's a picture of me where she's like smiling real big and laughing. And that was what we were talking about, because I had caught her hint on the hashtag and guessed the surprise in the movie. So, I mean, she was the sweetest lady, sweet and kind. And so we, you know, she signed all of our stuff. And then if you could see the license plate, like all this pink, that's all her. She almost signed like the whole front of the license plate. Wow. So she's like almost all the way done signing it. And she's like, oh crap. This is actually on video. We have on our Facebook wall too. Terry was recording and taking pictures at the same time. So she's like, oh crap, is Ari going to sign this too? And I was like, well, yeah. She's like, oh no, he's going to kill me. She's like, we've been having like a brother sister fight all weekend, cause I keep signing too much of a picture or thing. And he doesn't have no room. And then he signs stuff and I don't have no room. She's like, so don't say nothing to him. Just let him see what he says, but he's going to be so mad at me. So it was like a funny moment. And she just like, instead of stopping, she just finished taking up all the space. So you can see the blue in the bottom corner. There's like blue, there's like two blue marks on the corners. That's Ari's signatures. That was all the room he had. So she signed everything, and then she was taking pictures with people, recreating, you know, the chopping off Mrs. Voorhees' head. You know, that's one of her famous scenes in the film, of course. And so she had like a plastic machete. So after we signed everything and we chatted for a few minutes, then we got to stand there and she did a reenactment of chopping our heads off like she did Mrs. Voorhees. And of course mine and Terry's acting skills were below subpar, so we looked, you know, totally idiotic, but it was still fun. And you know, now I can say, you know, that I got my head chopped off by Alice, you know, just like Mrs. Voorhees did. So yeah, so we got that. So we did all that, and then we went, said goodbye to her. And I talked to her about the Wrestle Whore podcast, and And unfortunately, she said she doesn't do a lot of podcast interviews and stuff like that. And I really wanted to get her on because there was a real deep story for about her that I wanted to try to dig into. But it was from where she was abducted and had that run in where people, yeah, where she almost lost her life, basically. Yeah, there was a good chance it could have happened. So I wanted to kind of get that story because she was telling people in front of us about it a little bit. And I was like totally fascinated. But unfortunately, you know, she said that she doesn't do a lot of podcasts, that she doesn't, you know, do stuff like that very much. But she did do a shout out for us. You're going to hear it at you've heard it at the beginning of this episode, I'm sure. And so, yeah, at least she was gracious enough for that. So anyway, so we go over to Ari. And if you guys have listened to the Ari, this is a funny story to me. If you listen to the previous episode where we had Ari on, and, you know, he was most down and earth, genuine, nice guy. And, you know, he had talked about where he's going to, you know, start writing music for wrestling because he's into wrestling too. And he's coming to Columbus and he wanted to shoot videos in our wrestling ring and all this and that. And, you know, you heard the whole conversation, some on air, some off air. So I'm like, you know, I'm wearing my WrestleWhore t-shirt. I'm like, all right, Ari's going to see my shirt. He's going to recognize the logo in the podcast and remember our conversation. And we're going to have a great conversation about, you know, horror and wrestling in the podcast and all that. So we get off to Ari and we're like, hey, you know, what's up, Ari, da, da, da. And he's like, hey, what's happening, guys? You know? And then I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm Donnie from, you know, the WrestleWhore podcast. I said, we had you on a few months ago or a few weeks ago, whatever. And I said, you know, I owned a wrestling promotion in Columbus he was asking about and said he was going to start. And he was like, oh, yeah, cool. And I was like, oh, I was like, and you said, you were going to start writing your wrestling music and stuff. And I was just wondering if you'd gotten around to starting on that by chance. I was just curious to see what ideas you'd come up with. And he was like, wrestling music. And I was like, yeah, I was like, have first Jason, all their songs are about Jason. You said he's going to start writing wrestling songs. And he's like, wrestling songs. That's a pretty good idea. So as soon as he said that, me and Terry just looked at each other and I'm like, yeah, he has no clue what I'm talking about. I'm like, he remembers zero about this interview.
Yeah. Evidently. And he was our 100th episode interview, by the way. For
yeah. Episode. Yeah. And, but yeah, so I kind of like after I heard that and I could tell he had no clue what I was talking about. And then, I was like, yeah, I was like, we're in Columbus, Ohio. And he was like, Columbus, Ohio, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio soon. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's what we talked about. So I knew he was clueless. I mean, I get it. They see tons of people every day of the week, you know? So I got it. We thought it was like funny. Like, yeah, he has no clue what I'm talking about. So yeah, but he was like super cool. So we got pictures of him and he had the big cardboard cutout of where he was in the water, you know, as first Jason. So we, you know, we put that in front of us and then we did, you know, pictures with him. And then, so we moved on and went back up and we refilled our things. And then we were like, well, okay. You know, we still didn't see anybody like in a group. So we kind of saw a couple people and then they had like, you know, the Jeep was there. Like it was a replica. It wasn't the original. The sign that was outside on the poles was a replica. The original sign was there, but it was up in the shelter house because it was raining and they don't take it out in the rain to where it'll get ruined. So it was in the shelter house protected. So the one that's hanging that we're standing outside with is actually a replica. Yeah. Then the street signs and like all the other stuff that was there. Yeah. So we took pictures with that and we did, you know, did all that. And then finally we were like, you know, hey, when does the tour start? And she's like, oh, you're fine. Just, you know, hang out here. And then, you know, then the tour will start. And we were like, you know, I'm sitting there looking like, well, there's only like four or five people, you know, standing in this area. So anyway, like 5 minutes later, of course, you know, all these people come from, I don't know where, maybe they were like finishing up in a gimmick shop or whatever. So we get our group. So we start our tour. And if you watch the movie, you're thinking, you know, this place is huge, you know, because they're running through the woods, they're chasing each other, you know, running, hiding. Yes, so you're thinking, you know, they're running from cabin to cabin, and it takes, you know, forever for them to get to the other cabin, it seems like. So you're thinking, yeah, this place is gonna be huge, we're gonna be running forever, walking forever. So we go down these big old rickety stairs and it's slippery and wet and all that. And we get to the bottom, and right there you can see the beach and you can see where, you know, you see Camp Crystal Lake. So I got to my emotional moments where I was getting cold chills and I was trying to man up and not get teary eyed because, like I said, this was a huge deal for me, like a lifelong dream of mine. And then I look around. I'm like, okay, cabin, shower house, cabin. But like this whole area, I mean, you could probably fit the whole scene. I mean, the lake was super big. The lake was a good size, but the cabins and everything, you could probably fit them in like a football field area. They were that close together. And I was like everything's right here. And yeah, and they explained that they did that on purpose intentionally, because that way, you know, back in the day it was a low budget film. They didn't have all the luxuries. So that way they didn't have to haul and chuck the camera equipment and all the stuff that they needed from, you know, long distances. They could just move it from here to here to here. And but just, you know, then when I saw like everything, you know, in one eye shot to where I could just look and see everything, then it like, you know, like again, I got chills and I was like marking out, and I was like excited inside. And Terry was disappointed. She was like, how come you don't show emotion? She's like, I figured you'd be like jumping up and down and giddy. And I was like, I was inside. I said, I don't know. I don't show emotion like that, I guess. I said, you know, I was like, but I was like, I was, you know, believe me, I was hopping, doing flip flops in my inside. So,
I'm the same way.
Yeah. So we get there, and then, you know, he started, and the tour guide was awesome. He was real knowledgeable, and they had like a booklet. So they took you from each scene. You know, we started out at the main cabin, then we went to Brenda's cabin, and then Alice's, you know, Alice's cabin was toward the end, but, you know, we went around to all the cabins, went to the shower house, and he had a booklet with like pictures and photos and diagrams. And they would tell the, you know, we'd get to this scene and he'd be like, okay, this is this cabin. This is what happened. You know, this is where so-and-so died, or this is where, you know, what happened here. This is where the kids were sleeping at the beginning of the movie, where they, the camera walks through the cabin and, you know, you'd think you don't know who it is. Yeah. And they basically told the story. They told a little backstory. A lot of them I already knew, like, now, like when, Mrs. Voorhees got her head cut off, I knew that the head was held on with toothpicks. And yeah, so they told that story, and I knew that the hands were tassos and they were hairy, and I knew that story. But what I didn't know is that Betsy Palmer was upset that they used his hands, because I guess she was, you know, like in modeling and stuff like that, and was a very, you know, very pristine, you know, beautiful woman, and she didn't want people thinking that her hands were hairy like that. So I guess she was actually upset at that and wanted them to cut it out, but they didn't. And so for, you know, she forevermore has hairy hands, you know, Mrs. Voorhees. So, but yeah, stories like that. And then, you know, they were showing, like I mentioned before, like when he was walking across that pipe and stuff, how it went underwater. And so we started doing, you know, our tour, and then we had to stop because it was time for the canoe photos. So they, you know, said if you bought the canoe photo, you know, photo op, go here. If you didn't, go over here and just wait. So then, you know, Adrian came down, she got in the canoe, and she had on her raincoat and was all, you know, gimmicked up so where she wouldn't get too soaking wet. But I mean, the canoe had water in it anyway, so she still got wet. So, you know, so she got in the canoe. It was on the beach, and it was a number six canoe, just like the movie. It was pretty awesome. And then Ari come down, and he didn't have a raincoat on or nothing. He was wearing like black shorts, like cargo pants. And then it had a black, you know, Jason, like hockey jersey type thing on. And so he comes down, he goes to the beach, he takes his shoes off, he takes his socks off, he takes his hat off. He's not wearing it. He's like, you know, giving it all, and it pouring rain. You know, me and Terry's got our stuff on, and, you know, Adrian's got her stuff on. He's like taking all the stuff, and he's the, lifeguard tower, there was a door and a little, you know, little spot in there, so he opened it up and put his stuff inside there. And then he came over like a trooper, you know, barefoot, soaking wet and everything. And then that's the picture you saw where we were on the beach and reenacting the final scene, you know, one of the most iconic, you know, scenes in horror movie history. And I got to reenact it with the two people that had done it and hadn't been there in 40 plus years. So, you know, that was like another mark out moment, you know, another chub moment for me. So, yeah. So I didn't want to leave my raincoat on for that, or my pullover, my poncho. So I took my poncho off and just kind of balled it up and tucked it under the canoe while we were taking the picture. So I didn't, you know, cause I didn't want to be all gimmicked up with a poncho and this iconic picture that nobody really cares about but me. It's like, so yeah, so we did that and took the picture, and that was great. So everybody went through. So then they ended up, you know, taking off again, and we continued our tour. And yeah, like I said, the Toro's amazing because, you know, you walk in, they try to keep it as close as possible, but a lot of the props and stuff were, you know, or of course with being 40 years ago, you know, some of them were missing because they said every prop on the movie set was actual camp stuff. Like the Monopoly game, they said it was like one of the camp counselors or camp directors, like his game. And so when he left, you know, he probably took it with him. And you know, so all the props and gimmicks, a lot of them weren't there, but they said when they find stuff online that, you know, looks like it, that they try to buy it to try to replace stuff. So like on the pictures I took, like the Monopoly game's not the original. You know, Terry thought this Lysol can was so cute because it was, you know, a 40-year-old Lysol can. So she, you know, that wasn't the original can that was in the movie. And so they recreated it the best they could. But it was just like surreal, you know, because you see the movie and, you know, you've been a fan of all the films and, you know, especially Friday the 13th, the first one, like one of my favorites. And, you know, so when you walk in and you actually see them like in person and you walk in the room and, you know, like, holy crap, you know, this is where blah, 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 especially the shower house. When I went into the shower house and I saw the gray curtain with the lamp, where when he hit the lamp with the axe and it started shaking, when we were in that scene and I saw that setting, I was like, it was another like super goosebump moment. And I was just like, holy shit, you know, this is like, I'm really here, you know? So it was like awesome. But yeah, and they were really great. They had, you know, groups, like there's a group of 12, but if you were like in a pair, they sent you in by yourself. So, I mean, they took their time. They didn't rush anybody. You know, they're like, okay, you guys go ahead. And then when it was Monetary's turn, they're like, all right, go ahead. So we go in, we take our pictures, we'd, you know, mark out for all the stuff in there. And even Terry, you know, she's not a big horror fan. She's not a Friday the 13th fan, but even she had a blast. She said it was just cool to see it, being that she's seen the movies and then how the tour guides were explaining everything and telling us to reenacting the movie scenes and all that. So, you know, so we basically toured everything. So we go around the other side of the lake where there's a canoe on the other side. And apparently that's where they filmed the scene where the canoe, you know, the final scene where it flipped over and he pulled her under, but it was like it was like another 20, 30 yards out because the water risen, like I mentioned. So they have this setup and we never really asked them how they did it or whatever, but they had this setup to where you're, you know, in the beach that where the canoe was is actually grown over now because it's on the other side of the lake and there was no like lifeguards there. So they said it for the campers and stuff, it wouldn't be a good idea to have an open beach like that for, you know, children to go there for summer camp and, you know, not have a lifeguard over there. So they just let it grow over through the years. But yeah, we all had to, you know, holler Jason's name. He's like, you know, hey, you want to see Jason, see if Jason's really in there and, you know, in the water still, and has he still been there all these years? And so, you know, he counted 1, 2, 3 and all of us yelled Jason, and I'm sure they had like an air pump or something. But after we yelled Jason, like a couple seconds later, like bubbles and stuff started coming up right in front of the canoe, like in the movie. So yeah, so it was really cool. And then they done it for, yeah, they did it probably 30 seconds and everybody's taking pictures and, you know, doing all that. So, so that was another cool moment, you know? So yeah, like I said, so, and there was other buildings that weren't in the film. Like they had this, it was an outdoor chapel and we took a picture of it. And I think I put it online, but it looks like this big old weird shaped tree house. And it was like absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was made out of all wood, like a log cabin, you know, style wood. And I mean, it was really cool looking. So there, like I said, there was a lot of other stuff you don't see in a movie that was just, you know, just as beautiful as the rest. So, you know, we go around all the cabins and go into Alice's cabin. And we're on at the beginning of the film where the cop comes flying down and on the gravel road and they're pulling the tree stump over, you know, so we're on that road. And those images pop into my head. So that was another cool moment. And they tell us a story about the guy that rode the motorcycle. The guy that played the cop actually didn't know how to ride a motorcycle. So in the movie, when he's turning around where it looks like he's slipping and sliding in the gravel, they said that was like a legit moment because he didn't know how to ride it. So he was legit like trying not to fall off. And then like in the movie, you see him drive past him, speed past him and go up the hill, start going up the hill. And they said right where they cut, they said cut. And then like 2 to 3 seconds later, the bike came out from under him and he fell off the bike. And it was an actual police bike. I guess somebody, the Blairstown police loaned him the bike and they dumped it. So that was like another kind of cool story. But right, yes, yeah, so we did all that and went back up to the top, and then and we did our final. And then I went back to Adrian because I asked her to do the shout out, and her handler said to, wait till she's done with everybody and she'd be happy to do it. So she did, and it was great. She had fun with it. And then we kind of just did our exiting thing where we got all of our stuff, and they showed us a couple things on the way out, and then they took us to our cars and sent us on our way.
Oh, that is absolutely awesome, Donnie. And I want to thank everybody, listeners and viewers alike, for joining us on the Donnie Goes to Crystal Lake show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what this whole show is all about.
Because this is the most Donnie has spoken in all 100 and how many episodes we're at. Right. I've never heard Donnie talk this much.
Are you seeing like my excitement, my energy's up too? I'm talking about it.
You were seriously pumped about it. Dude, I am so happy that you got to experience that, because, we all get it. We all deserve to mark out about something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you definitely marked out and just had a ball. I mean, your energy is just infectious. You're still so pumped about it.
Oh, I am. I think about it. It's like I've thought about it every day since we've been back. And, another cool thing that I just thought of was where the lake is, like the famous shot where you see the canoe on the beach or in the water, and you see the water tower, and then you see the shot of the lake with the mountain in the background. And then so right across from that is the main cabin where they filmed the main cabin and all that. And so the main cabin, our tour guide, he's an actual camp counselor there. So he's there during the summer, like 3 months straight or something like that. And he said that his office area, because right now it's all cleared out because we were doing a tour, so they took all their desk and whatever else out for us. And but the window that he sat at is in the main cabin. His little office area is in the main cabin, so when he looks out his office window, he sees that exact shot of Camp Crystal Lake. And he's like, yeah, he says, this view is my view for 3 months out of the year. Yeah, you guys can hate me if you want. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. So I told Terry, I was like, which this is going to make me sound like a total weirdo. And it's probably because I am, but I don't really care. So, when I told Terry this, I felt weird. But I was like, when I was looking at that, every time I go out onto the beach, because Terry kind of like left me alone. Usually she talks and we communicate a lot when we're doing things. But here she just kind of like didn't say a whole lot to me. She just kind of like let me alone and let me do whatever it was I was going to do. So there was a couple times where people were taking their turns on pictures and I was just like in my own little zone. And I don't know what it was but when I was there, because like I said, it's been a childhood dream of mine. And, I fantasized about Camp Crystal Lake for so many years, being a Jason fan, that just looking out there, like my whole, it was like a calm, like an inner peace that came over me, because I'm an outdoorsy guy anyway, and I love being out in the woods because it calms me down, because my life's crazy and hectic and stress balls everywhere, and it's nonstop. So it was like weird. I'm like, man, I'm thinking of Camp Crystal Lake, which is a notoriously horrific place where people get killed all the time, and just being at Camp Crystal Lake and actually being on the beach looking at the scene in person. It was like, it was like all the stress, like everything just left. And that's probably the most peaceful I've actually felt probably my whole life. And I'm like, I know it sounds weird, but it was just, and I told Terry, I was like, I had to like stop. I was like, I was getting choked up a couple of times. I had to like tell myself to man up. I had to have Big Duke, my dad, come back into my mind and, toughen up, you pussy, because I was getting choked up, so. But like I said, it makes me sound like a weirdo, but honestly, and I told Terry, I said, if I could figure out a way to like run an internet business and live here on this camp to where I could just sit here every day and just stare out at this scene, I was like, I could live like this forever. And she was just like, yeah, I like outdoors, but not so much. But like I said that, but when he said that, this is my view every day, I was like, ah, man, you suck. I was like, that's awesome.
Well, I'm really happy that you got to do that. And you found out about it because we had Ari Lehman on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I had heard about it before, but I really never like looked into it, because I never really pursued it and was like, you know, yeah, I'm going to hunt this down and find out where all the details. But once we had him on and he talked about it, and he said that him and Adrian was going to be there, and it's the first time they'd been together at Camp Crystal Lake in over 40 years since they filmed it, then I was like, you know, if I'm going to do it, then, you know, this will be the time to do it. And, you know, now I found out we got to go back, you know, I have to go back again, because we took the meet and greet tour, which was basically all the cabins around the lake and the lake itself and all this and that. And then we did the meet and greet. But when you do the extended tour, they have an extended tour when you don't, when they don't have like the actors or guests there. And the extended tour is where they take you to the archery range. So we didn't get to see the archery range, and we didn't get to see the barn where the first kill happened up in the loft. We didn't get to go there. And I even asked him at the end, I was like, hey, where's the archery range? Cause I was wanting to go see that, you know, cause that was a pivotal part in the movie too. And he's like, well, you know, and I guess that's like a far away, cause the Camp Nobe Bosco is like super huge, and it's a lot bigger than just that little condensed area. So he's like, yeah, he's like, the archery is up this mountain. You got to hike up this mountain and go over, and it's down on the other side around there. And he's like, so it's a ways, he said, but with the meet and greet, he said, we don't show that part because that takes more time. So he said, that's part of the extended stay or the extended tour. So of course I told Terry, I was like, well, we got to come back. You know, I was like, so I got to go see the archery in the barn, because I had it all mapped out. I was going to get my phone out and I was going to record the actual shot of walking up the stairs to the barn, up to the loft, like just like they did in the movie. And I was going to reenact that and everything. And then I was just like disappointed, you know, that was the only thing I got disappointed about, but it, you know, it made sense after he explained it. So, yeah, so now I got to go back, you know, dang it. Got to make another trip.
Darn.
Yeah, well, darn. I got to plan another one.
Well, Donnie, I got to go eat.
Yes, I'm the same way. I don't wore myself out talking so much.
But let me tell you, I want to thank you for enlightening us about this. I mean, it sounds like you had an awesome time.
Oh, yeah.
And if people get the chance to go, they obviously should.
Oh, yeah. If you're any kind of a Friday the 13th fan of any kind, you need to go, because it was an amazing tour. The tour guides and the camp counselors were great. What I didn't mention real quick before we get off here is all the ticket sales and all that goes to the camp, so they can grow it. You know, like, because a lot of the cabins have like one of the cabins from that was on the beach scene had actually went underwater. So they lost that cabin. Three other cabins have gone. So they're using the money from all the ticket sales to, you know, rebuild the camp and for the camp, for the Boy Scouts and all that. And then also, like, when you take pictures and all that, there's a bucket you donate. There's a camp down the road where kids, you know, with cancer go to, and it's a whole camp for cancer kids. So they've raised, you know, over 30 some thousand dollars by doing that for the kids down the road at the camp down there. So it's all for good cause. And and if you're any kind of Jason fan or a Friday the 13th fan of any kind, I'd highly recommend it. If there's a waiting list, so you got to catch it at the right time. But it's, you know, Camp Crystal Lake, or it's crystallaketours.com is where it is. And you can get on a waiting list and they'll let you know when it's open and available. Cause that's how I found out. I got the email, and then we had Ari on that same day and he told me about it. So like I said, I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Well, for myself, Meat Hook Jim, and my co-host, Donnie Jason Voorhees Hoover.
Right.
We hope you've enjoyed this enlightening thing about the Crystal Lake tours and Donnie's over-exuberance, which is infectious.
Oh, yeah.
And we will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror Channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.